My obsession with what I put in my body led to starting Wild Foods, and that's actually the end of my sentence that I wrote, so I'm going to have to just kind of improvise. Hello, Wildlings. Colin Stuckert here, founder of Wild Foods Co. Welcome to the first ever Ancestral Mind podcast. I'm here with maybe my future co-host, maybe not. We haven't really established that. But it's Mr. Brent Philbin from the Crypto Basic podcast.
What is up? Thanks for letting me come on slash help you.
You should feel honored.
I do.
And so
you don't even need to pay me.
Well, I am paying you, actually. So how does that work? So the Ancestral Mind podcast is going to be something, a place where we cover all things from the ancestral health perspective. We're going to get deep into that. We're going to talk about the mismatch, our environment, where humans are now, where we're going, things like that. Topics that I've become obsessed with personally and that have kind of directed the Wild Foods brand and the Wild mission over at wildfoods.co. And of course, you can learn more about us and our products and everything we do over there at wildfoods.co. And if you do go over there, make sure you use code WILDCEO for 12% off your entire order. I want you to talk a little bit about you, your story. When you used to live with me in Florida, you had lost a lot of weight and then you changed your environment. You started hanging out with, you know, I don't know, around poker, around people that basically didn't really care as much about what they ate. And so you gained a lot of weight. And then now you just moved back to Austin about 6 days ago,
seven days ago. I haven't even been here a week.
And so one of the benefits of you working with Wild Foods, working with me on some other projects, is you're going to lose a ton of weight simply because you've changed your environment. So why don't you speak on that for a little bit?
The bullet points, you kind of covered them there. I mean, we've known each other since we were, I don't know, 16, 17, something like that. Yeah, about 5 years ago, we were working at the gym full time. I was kind of partnered up with you on the gym for a period there. I was still fat. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've never not been fat, but I lost about 80 pounds, so I was less fat. And I did that in like 3-4 months, maybe.
That's so crazy.
I
didn't realize you lost that much weight.
It was a lot.
Really, 80? So what was your starting weight and what did you end up at?
I started at about 290 and I got down to about 205, 210, depending on where my fluctuations were.
You were really 210?
Yeah.
That's probably like the lightest you've ever been in, how long?
That was the lightest I'd been probably since sixth grade.
Oh my God.
If not earlier, because I was full grown in like sixth grade. So very, very clear effects. And there were, just being around that environment, being around you was part of it. Also part of it was things like the following. We had been out dancing, drinking one night. We come home and Colin drops me off at my place.
This is exactly the reason, part of the reason
this
why.
This is part of the environment, but some of it is a little bit more indirect. This is a little bit direct. I go back into my place. You know, I've been drinking all night, so I've got a snack attack. And I decide I'm being even reasonably healthy about it. I pull out a tuna fish sandwich, but I make a sandwich, and we know how Colin feels about bread. And if you don't, you're going to find out. I don't know how it happened. I don't know if it's just like the sixth sense that he had that he knew.
I thought I left something in your house.
So yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not convinced. I was too drunk to really understand how. All I know is the door to my place opens back up. It's Colin. He runs in. He goes, "Is that fucking bread?" He grabs it, throws it in the trash, and then leaves.
Like auto leaves too. Like
there was no goodbye.
It's like a scene out of a movie.
He was just gone. So yeah.
Yeah. So that was obviously a direct reason, but the indirect were just obviously if we'd go out to eat, I would be choosing an option, maybe go to Chipotle. If you went to Chipotle and we're like going to get a burrito, I'd be like, no, what the hell are you doing with a burrito? Just get a bowl and load it up, right? Like things like that. And those subtle things over the course of a few months really add up. You were also doing a walking challenge or something?
No, I did couch to 5K. So I wanted to.
Oh, that's right.
I had never really run before and I was trying to basically train myself to be able to run 5K. I did, but then I ended up hurting myself.
But it's a lot of walking, right? I mean,
you had to start kind of getting the walking going with very little moments of jogging. The quickest I did a 5K was in 38 minutes. So it's not like I was ever fast, but the fact that I was able to do that without stopping was huge for me at the time. Yeah. However, speaking of huge, that's where I am now. I actually don't know what I weigh right now. I would suspect that since I've been here about a week, I've lost maybe like 5 pounds off the bat.
And we've actually been eating out more, which I was going to talk about in a rant section because I've been feeling like crap lately because I just feel like every time you're around, I want to eat out. So it's just weird.
I'm screwing you with your environment.
You influence me in certain ways and then I influence you. But we talked about the regression to the mean and kind of the idea that like your example was you let your house get dirty or your room get dirty until you can't stand it and then you clean it, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people do things like that. They let things clutter, build. For food with me, it's like I basically will eat out a little bit more every week and I'll eat, you know, maybe I'll do some sugar, maybe I'll do grains or whatever, and I'll kind of like add that each week until I get sick of it. I'm like full blown cold turkey, pure clean. And then I kind of like regress. So it's like it's never ending up and down. And being cognizant of that is like something will help you prevent it. But it's just definitely something that we all struggle with. We all regress to whatever our average is, whatever our mean is. And then that ties into environment. The reason that for you that in Florida that happened and the reason that it's going to happen again here is because you are literally immersed into an environment and people are a big part of that environment. You're around people that make those subtle decisions and that are going to influence you, even if they're not telling you and you're just kind of watching them, right? And that's why environment is so powerful. And that's why the people in environment is something that a lot of people actually don't really pay attention to, you know, and whether it's coworkers, family, friends, whatever. And a lot of times that's like the hardest thing for people. It's like, if you're around negative people your whole life, like it's really hard to not be negative, right? Until you literally reduce the time you're with those people or get those people out of your life. You know, if your parents have kind of painted this box, this picture of this world for you, and it's a very limited worldview, and maybe it's religious, maybe it's like the idea that you have to have a college degree, maybe it's the idea that you have to go to 40 hours a week job. Like it's really hard to break out of that if that's what you grew up with, right? And so environment really is everything for the human animal. And that's a lot of what the show is going to be about. And so
yeah, tie that into the ancestral. Why are we talking about that on the ancestral podcast? Obviously, it makes sense for talking about it today, but what does that have to do with our roots? What does that have to do with going back to how humans were supposed to be behaving?
The ancestral mind and the idea of thinking ancestrally, that's kind of what it means. So ancestral is more like how humans have lived for hundreds of thousands of years. Our old ancestors, not like, you know, the past 200 years.
Right.
Because we still had money and farming and cities and all these things. We're talking about, let's go back 12,000 plus years before the advent of agriculture, where we moved from nomadic hunter-gatherers to city dwellers. We settled down. We became farmers, right? And that basically paved the way for everything. And we wouldn't have the world we have without it. So like, I'm definitely grateful for it. But as you see, in the most industrialized societies in the world, you can even see it happening in China and India now, but obviously the United States and all the other affluent countries that have a processed food machine that's kind of become the staple of the diet. We're at like a 40% obesity rate in America. We're at like a 60 to 70% of Americans are overweight.
Yeah. Right? And think about that even just compared to another country like China, or I was just in Thailand. Nobody is fat in those countries. I mean, there's a few, but it's few and far between. And that can easily be attributed to their environment of just maybe fat shaming. My girlfriend is Thai and her family doesn't call me by my name. Okay. They call me Pum Pui, which means chubby.
Nice.
And it's just like this cute name that they give me, but it's like in their culture, when the first thing her mom does when she sees her is say, wow, you gained weight.
Yeah.
Whether she did or not.
Indians do that a lot too. Like Allison has some Indian clients. They literally say things like that to each other. I think that is definitely, there's some cultural things around.
Yeah, it's part of their environment.
Sure. But the real root reason is because they don't have the industrialized food supply the way we have.
Right. Like, so you think that they're kind of headed that way.
In there that have literally taken over the food supply. Like people still, like there's street vendors. There's like food that you can literally get from a farm around the corner. You know, you maybe raise your own chickens and do things like that. Like that's very much the base of their food availability. China,
Thai street food China is so
one of the, China. Yeah, it is. China is one of the fastest growing, or they have the fastest growing obesity rate, I think, in the world right now. Maybe it's India too. But China is why? Because they're becoming more affluent, they're becoming more industrialized, and all the big companies are trying to get a foothold in China, or at least, you know, there's the China equivalent, the state sponsored, that are basically doing the same things that we've done in America, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to explore in the show, and obviously the great thing about the show and what I'm excited about we're gonna go down these rabbit holes, but for now, I don't want to go too deep down them because this is really supposed to be an intro to the podcast, but we're going to go into all these different things that explain how we are mismatched to our current environment. And when you think ancestrally, when you have an ancestral mind, you're constantly asking yourself, what was it like 12,000 years ago if I had the skin on my back and maybe a small group of humans and we were basically having to survive in the wild? Every day you're thinking like, what would I do? And we really know what you would do because we have modern day anthropologist research where we've studied a lot of even modern day hunter-gatherers live for the most part a lot of how we would have lived, right? And so we have a lot of data in that way. We also have a lot of fossil record and things like that. But we're trying to find, how do we live in our current environment, this modern industrialized machine, right? Like, we're in a box right now. I'm sitting in a chair. It's temperature controlled. There's no nature. There's no green around me. There's no birds chirping. All these things that affect my biology, that affect human biology, the human animal, right? How is that compared to how we're supposed to live, right? Just like how is an animal at the zoo in captivity? And no matter how much you try to replicate its environment, it's never the same thing. That's why a lot of big predator cats are like, they lounge around all day. They get obese and they get depressed because they don't roam. They don't hunt. They have no challenge. Like, someone just feeds them, right? They're literally have taken the wildness out of them. And as a result, their health declines. And that's literally the perfect analogy for humans. Humans created the box that is their cage. And our cage is the modern environment. Like, our cage is society. Our cage is like cars, trucks, and apartments and houses and stuff, right? And so there's different effects of this because, like, if you go to, like you said, Thailand, right? They don't have as many of those conveniences as we have. They don't have as many of these artificial environments. And their food, which is kind of one of the big things, hasn't really gotten there yet. It is going to get there, though. Every country in the world, like, if you look at even the amount of people that are poor around the world, it's dropped to, like, super low levels because everyone in the world, the standard of living is raising, right? Well, like, what happened in America is you raise, but then it's all about excess. It's about more. It's about capitalism. It's about, like, you know, all the stuff that basically is a byproduct of capitalist, a very affluent capitalist country or society. We go beyond standard of living, and then we have all the issues of the modern environment. And that's really what we're struggling with today in our country. And so that's kind of a good intro to it. We're like, you know, we have a few more things to cover, and I want to keep this kind of short. I mean, I think we're going to aim for like 30 minutes for this show, but I really think the shows are going to be like 45 minutes to an hour. Like, it's just going to be too much to talk about.
If I'm still working as kind of a producer on these, here's my rule. My rule is we talk about the topic until we've covered the topic. That's what some of the shows that I release on Crypto Basic Podcast, we talk about, if you don't know about crypto, don't worry about what I'm about to say, but we talk about different coins, and some coins take us 30 minutes, some of them take us an hour and 45 minutes. I mean, we go start to finish until we have covered the topic satisfactorily to the point where we could give a listener a lot of value or an actionable item that they could complete.
Yeah. I want to be more casual too.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be fun. I want jokes. I want you to be able to tell those funny stories and whatnot. Because that's like,
I'll come
that's
up what with people more are funny Colin
up for.
Stories.
That's what people are going to show up for. The reason why I think you're going to end up, whether you like it or not, being a co-host of the show is because, you know, one, we were going to document your journey, but also, like, you can kind of come in and say, pretend I'm an absolute beginner.
Yep.
Right. And like, use that perspective. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. And you know certain things, but in the more you're around it, the more you're going to level up. But like, you've been out of this for a while. And in fact, the last time we hung out was like on a regular basis, like, what was that, 4 years ago?
I mean, probably five. I'm thinking 2012 or 13.
Right. And that's before I had Wild Foods, before I moved to Austin. I mean, just the things that I've evolved personally since then, and my mindset and everything is like, it's just 10 steps another level. So there's going to be a lot of catching up you have to do. But that's good though, because that's going to be a perfect way to pull me to more to the basics. Like, I might go down these esoteric rabbit holes, but you can kind of pull me in and saying like, well, that's really interesting, but like, what can I do with this information or whatever, right?
Right.
So like, it's going to be a really good perspective. So it has me excited. Now, let's break for the ad though. This episode is sponsored by Wild Foods Co. Get your obsessively sourced real foods and supplements from our trusted suppliers around the world. We believe quality ingredients are what the human animal is supposed to eat. My obsession with what I put in my body led to starting Wild Foods, and that's actually the end of my sentence that I wrote, so I'm going to have to just kind of improvise.
Whoops.
And, but like, you'll learn more. We're going to talk about it on the show. You can learn more on our mission page. It's kind of a longer story that I don't want to get into just now, but it basically started with like, I didn't trust the foods I was buying. I didn't trust the supplements I was buying. And I tried to get sourcing info, how they made it, where it was from. And you just can't get that info. Even today, it's still hard to get that kind of info. And so I was like, well, what if I basically source these things direct from the farm level, direct from the manufacturer. And I just focused on finding the things that I wanted to use in my life, whether it's fish oil, cocoa butter, pink salt, whatever. And then just like, basically that's the one thing I use for the rest of my life. And maybe other people would be interested in that as well. And starting with two products and basically growing to over 100 different products, that has been the strategy we've taken. And we've been growing multiple 100% year over year. We've been building a really awesome wild tribe, which I'm really excited about. And it helped us kind of develop and hone in our mission of helping 50 million people live a bit closer to nature from an ancestral health perspective. And so this show is just going to be a natural extension of that mission. It's going to help me reach more people. And, you know, I would highly recommend checking it out. If you have any questions or comments, you can always shoot us an email at info@wildfoods.co.
All right.
Anything to add or any questions?
Wow, that was the longest ad ever. So yeah, if you're interested in being an advertising partner on this podcast, you do not have access to a 3-minute long rant.
It wasn't 3 minutes. It was also educational.
All right. Give us some like misconceptions about this, either the space as a whole or kind of the topic that we're talking about of the environment affecting kind of how you live, how you do things.
Yeah.
And the ancestral mindset around that.
Well, the thing is, a lot of people don't think about stuff at all. There's not even a lot of misconceptions. I think if we had to get into really like the paleo primal thing, one of the misconceptions would be the idea that cavemen or like our ancestors lived to be like 20 and they died or whatever, which is completely and utterly not true. In fact, I'd have to cite the data and really find it, but it's like, I think once a hunter-gatherer reaches the age of 15, the life expectancy immediately like doubles. Right.
Oh, and okay.
It's because one, infant mortality, there was no hospitals, babies died a lot.
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And also did mothers and child rearing, right? It was like a big freaking deal.
Yeah. So, the modern world hasn't ruined everything.
Yeah. Exactly. And then also, you would have trauma. Like, you could literally break your ankle. And if you had an infection that you couldn't cure, you could die from that. Like,
right,
something as simple as that, right? So, there's a lot of things that really skewed the numbers. But there's like a lot of modern day research from anthropologists of like hunter gatherers living to be, you know, 70, 80 years old, like having, you know, elders and stuff like that. And that's being very common. Humans, I mean, and the more we kind of debunk these ideas, like humans can live a very long time when they're living as close to nature as possible. Then you take something like society and medicine and anti-aging, all these things we have, like we're going to, I mean, I think in the next 20 years, we'll be able to like be like 150, like yeah, with some technology. Oh,
I believe that somebody who's going to live to 150 has already been born. And that's with no real empirical data, just seeing where we're headed towards singularity and that kind of thing. But I want to hone in on something you just said there. People that were, you know, cavemen or whatever you want to call them, did live to be 70 or 80 years old. And that's actually where we get a lot of the concept of wisdom, of being old, because who lived to be 70 or 80 years old? The smartest, the best, the brightest, the
those
strongest.
That could survive.
Yeah. Now, everybody lives to be 80 years old, and they're just annoying old people, right? When people say, like, respect your elders and stuff like that, that's a concept that's been built into us from day one, because if you got to be an elder, you fucking did it. You know what I mean? Like, you succeeded through all those things that you just listed off. You succeeded in avoiding getting your leg broken and becoming infected. And you might have the wisdom to tell somebody, don't jump off the cliff so that your leg will break.
Don't eat those berries.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So that's a misconception. I found a misconception there just by listening to what you were saying, which is that automatically these days, if you're older, you're smarter. Not necessarily true.
No, but
that also back then, it kind of had a correlation.
Right, and it also doesn't discount the fact that there are a lot of very wise old people today.
Right, right. Like,
Still had to get through this life, which there's plenty of ways to fuck that up.
It's just not it's not as big of a prerequisite as it was back then.
Much
of a correlation.
It's not as much of an accomplishment.
Yes.
Like literally living to be 80 in the harsh wild is a freaking accomplishment, right? Today, it's kind of like just you do it, right? So absolutely. But yeah, exactly. Like, and this is the kind of stuff that I love, I get fired up about, and this kind of stuff we're going to talk about because it's going to help you build the ancestral mind. And when you build an ancestral mind, you literally think about everything that you do in your daily life differently. It'll change how you raise your kids. It will change how you think about aging. In fact, there's something like my mom, for example, she's 60 plus at this point. I'm really bad with ages, but she's up there. And you know, so like you get the subtle things like, oh, I can't pick that up, or like my knee or this, I stepped off the curb wrong, my knee hurt or whatever. She has this mindset where she doesn't want to like lift weights or just do things like that would – because like it might risk something. But the reality is that those are the exact things she should do because your body is use it or lose it. And what I've seen in my hypothesis is you have people that kind of age at a standard rate. What you do is like when you get 50, your people start complaining about their knees and their back. Or 40 or whatever it is, right? And so you start telling all your friends about it. And then so those friends around you start hearing people complain about their knees and their back. And so they start finding confirmation bias ways in their life where their knees and their back are bothering them. And I've basically had this
almost
idea
like you need
where
to
people
fit in.
Kind of like age together mentally. They age together mentally and they create all these limitations. But you always see that outlier, that guy that's like 75, like going to the gym and he's like ripped and just because he doesn't care what other people are doing. He's not going to age the way they are. And I feel like a lot of aging is actually mindset. And again, huge rabbit hole to go down, but it's just interesting because I can see how a lot of, as she ages, her mindset becomes more limited and she convinces herself she can do less things. But if she just did them and accepted that, like, at times it might hurt or whatever, or like if you built, when you tear muscle fibers, it's not going to feel great if you're sore, things like that. Like, and you just embrace them and you do more of it, then it will completely change how you age, right? And our ancestors didn't really think that way. Like, our ancestors were always doing things, building things, moving. And so, like, they just stayed naturally strong, supple, and lean because they, like, were literally living in the wild, right? They had to. And so you're always doing stuff. That's just another example of how, like, our mismatched environment even affects the way we age today. We just become more decrepit and more feeble faster because we have so much comfort and so much like this idea that we should never be in pain or we should never struggle through things, right? And then that's a whole another topic of the whole like comfort is killer.
Yeah, right? That's a little bit of the placebo effect too, right? Like if everyone around you is complaining about their back hurting and then your back starts to hurt a little bit, you might think that it hurts more than it does.
Yep.
And just that's like if I tell you this pill is going to cure this thing and it's a sugar pill, like yep. you think it did. So right.
Well,
similar.
Yeah. Similar so much of what we do things. Is rooted in the mind. Which is why, like, I love the idea of the ancestral mind, and because it literally affects everything, you know. And our modern world shapes our mind. Like, you better believe it. Like, I mean, and then everything flows from that. In fact, it's really our mind being shaped, and all these ideas and these dogmas and the status quo that we build from our mind that keep us like just not as healthy, right? And like, so focusing on that, thinking differently. And challenging the status quo, that's a big thing I'm a proponent of and what we're going to talk about a lot on the show. So that was misconceptions. What do we got next?
Normally, we would move on to giving sure. specific examples, but you've given a bunch of specific examples and we were going to originally tell my story here, but we told it in the beginning about my environment being around you. So I think that with that kind of overview of the topic and everything like that, what we can do is present something to the audience for some steps that they can take to make their environment better, start living in a better mindset or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just anything that you could give them. Little things like you sleep in complete and utter darkness. I don't know if that is...
A whole show is going to have to be about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I've got plenty of stories for that one.
Yeah. I think the best place to start is with the most important thing. I'm hesitant to use the word important because there's a lot of things that are important. Like if you're smoking crack, or cigarettes, like I can't say like focus on your diet because like that's the first thing that should go.
It turns out our ancestors right? did not have crack.
Exactly. So, you know, but for most people, the most important thing that affects their long-term health and well-being is real food, nutrition, or just what you eat, right? It's diet, okay? And our ancestors only ate things that were from the wild that they could find, they could hunt, and they could forage, they could process themselves, right? Yet today, we eat things that corporations process for us or cook for us or do whatever for us. And we eat things that are artificial. We eat things that have tons of sugar and preservatives because it tastes better because some guy in a lab basically manufactured it for us, right? And so fundamentally, the number one thing that everybody can do to, I mean, literally change your life, stop eating food out of a package, you know, stop eating processed refined foods, particularly grains, sugar, you know, beans, lentils, other very carb-dense things, but really that's kind of secondary. If everyone just simply stopped eating processed refined grains and sugar, I mean, like that literally right there eliminates almost all of the processed food. Just doing that. Processed grains and sugar. And then obviously seed oils and vegetable oils would be the next one. That, just that. And there's a lot of great articles over at wildfood.co on that. We have a whole real food guide. I've written extensively about this. I have all these posts on my social, on Instagram. Go to @ColinStuckert on Instagram. And I have a bunch of posts on that. Things you should eat, misconceptions. And we're going to have a lot of shows. Like I want to have a whole show just on the dogmas of nutrition and like how people think it's all about calories, how, you know, like the whole, if it fits your macros nonsense, like we're going to rant about that for hours and days. And so we'll definitely be doing some shows on that. You know?
We'll look forward to our 72-hour long episode.
Yeah.
Titled, calories in, calories out is bullshit.
Basically. But yeah, that's the good place to start. And then sleep. Yeah. For me, I tell most people you're 80-20. It's really like 90-10 where you get most of your results is going to be sleep and nutrition, right? We're going to do a whole show on nutrition. We'll probably do a lot of shows on nutrition, but we're going to do kind of like a whole basic intro to what the right way to eat is. And then we're going to do a whole show on sleep. And sleep is a lot about just like making subtle tweaks to make your sleep better. There's a lot of things you can do. And we'll get into that.
Sleep definitely relates to environment for sure. So you just threw a lot of truth bombs at us, but if you could pick like one super niche down and specific thing, you could tell people just do this right now. For instance, you could say, stop eating dessert today or something like that. Just don't order dessert at a restaurant or whatever. That's a pretty specific actionable item. But if you could say something about the environment, just one real easy tweak that you could tell somebody tonight, as soon as they get off this podcast, to go home and do, what would it be?
It would be go eliminate sugar and grains for 30 days while also cooking as much of your food at home. Or even better, do like a no eating out or out of a package or anything for 30 days, and all your meals have to be prepared at home for 30 days. Like, and just do it for 30 days. Doesn't mean you have to do it forever, but at least see what that would look like. See how you would feel. And then see, you know, how you, when you're making the food yourself and you're compiling recipes out of ingredients, you have the choice to use better ingredients, you know, like ditch the refined salt, get a good pink salt, you know, don't add sugar to your meals, like throw away all the grains and pasta and everything you have in the pantry and just focus on no sugar, no grains, home cooked food. Like literally, no sugar, no grains, home cooked food. I should make like a jingle out of that because like that is the thing. Maybe we'll make like that our podcast intro. No sugar, no grains, cook your food at home on the Essential Podcast or something like that. Because it is literally no sugar, the most important
it's
thing.
It's Colin Stucker.
Totally. No
grains. Brent Philbin, the producer. Oh, and, like a song.
Yeah. And then we can do rap videos and stuff. Oh my God. I'm so excited. There's so much we can do. Let's get through this because we are at about 30 minutes and let's.
That's it. So this point forward. When we get to this point of the show here, we're going to tell you that was the meat, that was the potatoes.
No.
Wait, not fucking potatoes. No, I'm sorry. Potatoes. We can't eat potatoes. I don't know. So what have I done?
That was the meat.
That was the meat. That's it.
And now this is going to be the...
A little bit more about our personal lives, a little bit more ranty, a little bit more what's tangential.
But this is going to be personal life stuff and rants. 10 to 15 minutes is like probably an average. Maybe sometimes we'll go longer.
Who knows? Whatever's grinding your gears.
Right. It really grinds my gears. What is that from?
It's Family Guy.
Oh, it is. It's Family Guy. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe we'll call it that. I don't know if that's allowed.
Hey, if they sue us, then at least they're paying attention. Or if they give us a cease and desist. Okay. So, yeah, let's just get into it then. So, just so you know, for the format moving forward, if you get to this point in the show, we'll kind of let you know. And then we'll basically let you off the hook so you can go and back to your life if you want. Or you can hang out with us for a little bit longer and have some more entertainment value. We'll try to throw in some value because I'm just a value bomb dropper. That's what I do. I drop like napalm. And then look at Brent's face. That is what you need. You need personality.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's what sells nowadays.
Yeah, dad jokes. They'll get you all the way.
So personal life stuff and rants. Get to it, Brent. Like you're the first one on the thing. Like you just moved here. Tell us about your journey.
Well, before I even do that, I'm going to rant about podcasting. Okay. So podcasters put this shit on the front of their episodes all the time. You come into a podcast and they talk and they're like, oh, hey, Colin, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I don't know. I went and saw Avengers. It was really cool. Did you know that everybody dies at the end? Oh, yeah, that was great. Let's talk about, you know, and then you're like, wait, I tuned into this podcast to learn about how my environment is affected and how I can change that. Why are they talking about going and seeing Avengers and what is going on in their lives?
Yeah.
Now, there are people who are going to be invested and who are going to appreciate what's going on in our lives. And we should still give them that content, but that's why this is at the end. It's why I have it at the end of my podcasts. And it's just an annoying thing. And so many of the big podcasts put it out there almost like they have data that people like it, but I don't know anybody who appreciates it. So
yeah.
I just moved to Austin basically about 2 weeks ago. Colin flies me out here and puts the hard sell on me. Now, Colin can definitely put the hard sell on you to do stuff.
What does it sound like? What is a hard sell? Give him an example.
The Colin hard sell?
Yeah.
So
well, and don't yeah, okay.
the Colin hard sell
PG-13 at least.
Sounds like a lot of swearing, a lot of telling you, what the fuck are you doing back home? Like no. And
I'm painting the
providing
picture.
A ton of value. One of the things that he really drove home was like, dude, you were 80 pounds less the last time we were hanging out and around each other all the time. Like, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. So he got me out here. We're starting a new business. We're working on an old business and we're moving forward with that kind of thing. So that's how it worked. I made the decision in like, I came out here for 2 or 3 days, off the cuff, made the decision in about the same amount of time. I just, you know, I went home and spoke with the girlfriend that I mentioned previously. And within 3 or 4 more days, I got all my stuff in my car in Florida and drove out here. So I stopped by the escape room that I owned on the way out here, did some things there, built some things, and then here I am. So like I said, just right in the beginning, you can already feel that. I haven't missed fasting on a single day. even when we're eating out, like Colin says, I've been a bad influence, but we're eating out at
you,
like...
You've been eating better than I have.
Yeah. We're
like, literally.
Eating a little bit of tacos here and there, you know, that was... Actually,
we had dessert once, but it was good. It was barley swine dessert, so you have to get that.
Yeah, but that was the last time I was here. That hasn't even been the last week. That was a while ago.
Yeah. But I also painted a picture for what your future was like, because you were going to take a dealing job, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and you were kind of like in between things. You did the escape room business, but that's going to take a little bit of time to kind of generate revenue and
right,
stuff.
Right. It's a very passive income, but very low income.
Yeah. And so you're like, well, what's my next move? Well, I'll take a dealing job because I can. But then it's like, you're doing the same stuff.
Yeah.
Around the same people. Right. And you don't want a deal. You were taking it as like because there's a lack of a better option.
Yeah.
Right?
I just,
so what do you want your future to be? Just be a dealer your whole life? So like I've talked about that a lot. And then I also talked about like the potential you had in doing some things. The reality is I'm actually really surprised with a lot we've done so far. Like the podcast thing was like perfect for you because you really needed to like validate yourself. Because I mean, back in the day, your work ethic was like good if you showed up to a job, but I never saw you do anything like outside of work.
Right.
That was like work, right? And so that's why the podcast is great because like you literally built something from scratch and you have this knowledge, you have these skills. Now you're getting speaking gigs as a result. Like it's awesome, cool shit. This is stuff that I love to see that most people just don't do because they just don't do it. I mean, in fact, you learned a lot through the process with some of your, and I don't know how deep you want to go on this, but you learned some of the struggles of like having a partnership. You learned some of the struggles of building something from scratch. Like, are you able to share any of that?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff. I'll share the good stuff basically. The end result being that I was just flown out to Thailand. When I mentioned Thailand, I wasn't just there for visiting. I was flown out there to speak at a crypto conference alongside. And if you're not into cryptocurrency, I have to make kind of a comparison here. But
it was a big deal.
If you listed off the top five, say, celebrities or well-known people in the cryptocurrency space, he would have been one of the top five. His name is Charles Hoskinson. And I was on stage with him, alongside him.
Moderating a panel.
Yeah, I was moderating that panel.
Yeah, it's awesome. Super cool.
It was really, really cool. When we say dealer, that was a poker dealer. That was I haven't done that in years, but it pays, you know, roughly around $65,000 a year.
But it's a miserable, it's just awful.
It's a miserable job.
I also
turned down a poker management position in Boston at the exact same time of coming out here. So I turned down a $65,000 and $80,000 a year job to move to Austin. Plus, I've been this closet hipster for a long time. When I'm in Fort Myers or I'm in Fort Lauderdale, I find like the hipster spots. And then I realize that Austin is like a nice hipster city. Like everybody's a hipster here, right? So now I'm in a city where like there's people that are too hipster for me. So now I don't feel like I'm a hipster. Now I just feel like I'm a normal person that happens to like some hipster things.
Yeah. You also don't really wear jeans or have facial hair. You kind of need both of those.
Right, yeah. I told you I'm a closet hipster.
Yeah.
Very closet. You know, yeah. I do not wear the uniform, but I want to know what that porter that I'm drinking came from and who made it. Did it go into space first?
Is it gluten-free?
Which, speaking of which, there is a beer that I drank that they shot it into space first before they brewed it, and that was cool.
Coolio. And part of your employment position, because you're helping with Wild Food as well, is I'm forcing you to buy this meal delivery service that I'm basically paying for half of. So
yeah.
You're basically getting like most of your food half off, which is great. But it's also great, and I've used it myself personally. It's Snap Kitchen. I don't think they're available nationwide. I think it's like an Austin thing.
Maybe.
But there's definitely a lot of these kind of services around. I highly recommend this type of service if you can really control the ingredients.
This is an unpaid plug, by the way.
Oh yeah, like no sponsorship here, of course. This is just something we use, and they're pre-made. They deliver every 2 days, so it's like pretty fresh, and they just sit in your fridge, and you reheat it, and you eat it, and it's awesome. And it's like I'm doing that now just because I have less time to cook, but I will move eventually back to more cooking, just depending on time or whatever. But like at different times of your life, it, as long as nutrition is a priority, you will always find the best way to go about it. And I think that's what most people kind of lack, is they just think this like nutrition is a secondary thing, or they only think about nutrition if like they're trying to lose weight. But the reality is nutrition and food affect your entire life. Like you, even for example, Brent, like you have a very strong motivation to eat clean because of your hereditary genes. What is exactly?
That word escaped
genetic
me too.
Predisposition.
Yes, genetic predisposition. Yeah. Yes, my mom had a very, and she's passed away, but she had a very hereditary disease called multiple sclerosis that is super degenerative. And you know, ideally, I would do whatever I could to prevent that. There's no real way to detect it. You can only kind of figure out that it's not other things before it happens. If something bad happens, luckily, nothing has seemed to happen on that yet. But
you do know, for without a doubt, what you could do to either increase or decrease the likelihood. And that is absolutely lifestyle. And diving the number thing. And everyone should actually go watch the Dr. Terry Walls, I think it's W-H-A-L-S, her TED Talk, where she had MS. She was bedridden. Doctor said she would never walk again. And then she did a kind of, I believe she did it was a paleo style diet where she did a lot of greens, like a lot of vegetables. And within, I think, very short period of time, she was riding bikes, walking around. Now she's fully functional and she's basically cured MS.
Yeah,
that's with nuts. Her diet. Like, it's absolutely insane. And now she has, like, the Dr. Terry Walls protocol, and she's funding a ton of research around it and all this stuff. And, I mean, they're still scratching the surface, at least science-wise, with the effect of food and long-term health and wellness, because we can't lock humans in a cage. It's a problem. And there's no long-term nutrition studies that can even be done, because you just can't do it the right way. And most nutrition research, and I write about this a lot, is complete and utter nonsense. It's based on like asking someone on a questionnaire, how many ribs did you eat in the past 3 months? What? Like, literally, some of the biggest studies, the nutrition-based studies in the world, are based on that. They send out this very long questionnaire, and they ask people questions like that, that literally people have no idea, so they guess, or they even just write what sounds good.
And you're also getting the kind of people that will take the time to fill those out, which are already a little bit stupid. So...
Yeah, in fact, we're going to have a whole show. I want to get someone on that's like maybe really into research, maybe even a scientist or a researcher that can kind of like come in and kind of explain how research works, how meta-analysis works, how peer-reviewed works, how double-blind placebo, all these things work, because most people have no idea. They just, they see some article by some journalist saying, oh, new study finds this, whatever, but.
That's how people think vitamin C matters for your immune system.
Yeah, or the fact that fat. Is bad for you, or the idea that fat is bad for you, or the idea that fat causes heart disease or whatever, or saturated fat, just all of the nutrition myths that have been perpetuated for the past 30, 40 years are a result of poor research, a lot of times biased research, and then lazy journalists that go and write headline-inducing articles to try to get clicks and views to basically sell their paper by making these outlandish claims, right? And the entire – I call it an accidental conspiracy, because like – a lot of it is actually conspiracy. You can even read some of the books like Gary Taubes, Good Cowards, Bad Cowards. He talks about Ansel Keys. And again, we'll probably do a whole show on this, but the whole lipid hypothesis was basically the result of one doctor that was like kind of a bully. Anyone that contradicted his work, he would like suppress them. He had a lot of influence in the government. He's basically the reason we had the whole like, don't eat fat or you'll get fat thing, right? And like, or you get heart disease. And it's literally part of why the processed food revolution paved the way for sugar and, you know, like, and all this processed food and all this like low fat crap. And like, there's just, oh man, it literally is conspiracy. Like, I don't think he kind of set out to do that, but it's just like the example of like how one guy, one scientist, one doctor, in fact, he wasn't even a medical doctor. I think it was like a chiropractor or something or whatever, but he, it's one guy was able to literally indirectly cause the suffering and even death of millions of people.
Yeah.
Like literally.
That's happened more than I would like to admit, unfortunately.
Smoking is an example.
Yeah.
Doctors used to recommend cigarettes.
Yep. There's anti-vax movements. There's a lot of different things that are based on non-peer-reviewed research that gets taken and rolled with it. Funny anecdote, though, about the fat situation. It's why they had to switch to a serving size, because it used to be cool to just say fat-free and that made your product healthy. So there was some cookies that did it. They would put fat-free for their cookies, but it was only fat-free if you ate like 1/16th of the cookie. And then they put that on the back and put it out as like a health cookie. And then they were hurting people because people were just mashing these cookies because they thought, one, that it mattered that it was fat-free, and two, that they weren't getting any fat because of the way it was printed on the box. I don't remember specifics about that.
Well,
but
there's things that are still going on like that. You can actually advertise on a label and say, 0 gram trans fat, as long as the serving size that's on the label, the nutrition facts, is between like 0.01 and 0.049. So you can basically have up to 0.5 gram I think it's 0.5. So it's like a half a gram. You're allowed to have up to a 0.5 gram of trans fat per serving in a thing, which if you have a big container, it could be like actual 10 grams of trans fat, and you ought to put 0 gram trans fat on the label.
Wow.
And that's just an FDA thing they allow. Right. There's also an entire list, and this is my thing with organic, even though like I always try to buy organic and even offer organic to Wild Foods when I can. Organic is not a blanket term for quality. At this point, it's basically been corrupted, it's been paid for, whatever. There's an entire list on the organic website of approved inorganic substances that can go on a product labeled organic notes, organic substances that literally exist. You can literally go and see the list. And so I send people to that when they like get all, you know, crazy huffing and puffing about like it has to be organic, whatever, because no, it's not necessarily.
You know what? Check the show notes. We'll have that link for you.
Yeah, we will. You can Google it too. I think it's a good place to wrap up unless you have anything to add.
Yeah. Look, you got ranty. This is what you can expect on this show. Colin will start.
Get more of it.
And then he'll go. He'll smash the table a couple times. You may have even heard that depending on how my editing skills are. And you will see tangents from the mind of Colin, the wild CEO.
And Brent Philbin. We need to come up with something for you. The poker dealer.
Let's leave that up to to the people who have listened. We know what there is about me. I have a crypto podcast. I used to play poker professionally. I used to deal poker or be a poker manager.
Do you have a Twitter or anything? Can people follow you somewhere?
My Twitter is at Chubby Crypto. So
CHUBBY.
Yeah, let's make it. And obviously, it's not crypto chubby for obvious reasons. That makes it sound like something bad. Let's make it to where it's no longer Chubby Crypto. Let's see if we can get down to Skinny Crypto.
That's gonna be a goal, but only if you only if you reach a certain weight. Yeah. So like maybe we'll publicly track that or something.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll check in now. And I literally don't know what I weigh. I haven't weighed myself in weeks. So
it's happening, folks.
I'm guessing it was around 280. So we'll see. We'll take some before and after pictures. We'll take the picture of the first inaugural podcast here in the studio that I'm living in.
Yeah, exactly. And if you want to see Brent crush his weight loss goals and like literally see a transformation in front of your eyes and ears, then you have to subscribe to this and you have to listen to every show. And there's no exceptions. You're not allowed to do anything but listen to every show every minute.
Actually, you are allowed to do one other thing.
What's that?
You're allowed to rate us on iTunes. Awesome.
I was going to try to put that in there. Rate us on iTunes. And
no, seriously, like this is the first episode. And if we can get enough ratings in the first few episodes, it might really help resonate our message. Sure. We might get into new and noteworthy. We probably won't, but
why would we want to do that? Why would we want to have people rate us so we can get more people listening? What would that do?
That just creates a bigger tribe. It creates a better community, and it gives us an opportunity to find more and more high quality guests to bring to you. So rate us on iTunes and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. That would be awesome.
Well, thanks for watching, everybody. And if you need to get in touch with us for any reason, we don't have an email set up yet, but you can shoot us an email to info@wildfoods.co. And then just, you know, you can put podcast in the subject, whatever, or you could put to Colin or to Brent or whatever, and we'll get it. And we'll kind of go from there. We're going to take suggestions, feedback, et cetera. We can do different segments. We're going to do interviews. I want to do some shows where maybe we just like pick one topic and that's it. And we just kind of go.
Maybe we should make a Slack channel.
But as Sam would say, you got to make sure we focus. So. guys, thanks for watching. And we will see you at episode 2.